Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Nova M Radio Network. Thanks for tuning in. Boy, two good days back to back. Yesterday, Cheney gets a blood clot. Today, Irving Libby is found guilty on four or five charges. Right? Huh? Joining us in a few minutes will be Democratic activist Larry Stempler. He's going to talk to us for a few minutes about the website and efforts at draftgore.com. Oh, man. Yeah, I'm a little tongue-tied tonight. This is a bad day to be Bush. Every day must be a bad day to be Bush, but they usually keep it tamped down. Today and yesterday, everything's out there. Over the past 5 or 6 days, everything is starting to puke out of the incompetence of this corrupt administration. I haven't seen any polls today. Are his approval ratings in the single digits yet? Are his handlers even letting him near a television or a newspaper or sharp objects? Where was he? He's been, where was he, Kathy? He was talking to VFW thugs. What a group that is. He sounded stressed and extremely defensive. Talking to, I'm sorry, Foreign Legion today. Foreign Legion is to America, kind of like what, boy, am I going to get calls on this. Kind of like what the brown shirts were to Germany in the 30s. Not Foreign Legion, the American Legion. Some of them are veterans and some are not, but they're one of these America First groups that is just chock-a-block with Klansmen and neo-Nazis and all kinds of right-wing thugs. Now, you don't like that? I don't care. Send me an email. I really don't give a damn, okay? I know what the American Legion is, especially their leadership. They're pro-death, pro-war, anti-constitutional thugs. To hell with them. So there he was in front of these Nazis trying to explain away the Walter Reed disaster, which really is just a tip of the iceberg in the mistreatment of the wounded troops that he, this miserable bastard of a president, created. Oh, and his Secretary of Defense. And then trying to justify in front of the American Legion the escalation of his wars and lies where it concerns Iraq. What a thug this guy is. You got to give Bush credit for one thing. He stays on message like Jack the Ripper stayed on message, like Hitler stayed on message. It doesn't make any difference what the truth is. This rat bastard will stay on message, and there he was again today. Huh? And his spokesman du jour, Dana Perino. Where's Tony Snow? Off getting chemo again? Wasting the taxpayers' money? Where is he? Anyway, Dana Perino told reporters that Bush was saddened by the Libby verdict. Saddened. Now, that's odd. It's odd if Bush were normal. I thought he was so determined to find out who leaked. Didn't he demand this most serious investigation because he wanted justice and truth to prevail? Well, the truth did win today, partially. At least where it concerns this lying little rat bastard Irving Libby. And Bush didn't seem happy at all that the American justice system prevailed. Wow, what to think when the president is rooting for the felons. Kind of seems just a tad un-American, doesn't it? Huh? Of course, the joke is, as always with these thugs, on the vast majority of the American public. We are to believe that Bush and Cheney and the rest of these rat bastards didn't know this from moment one. Who was responsible? Who was involved in smearing Valerie Plame and Joe Wilson? Because Joe Wilson had the absolute temerity to tell the truth. You don't tell the truth with the Bush crime family. If you do, well, if you're a federal prosecutor, you can be fired. If you're a covert agent, you can be exposed. If you are a former ambassador, you can be attempt will be made to discredit you. If you're a former president, they'll try to make everything look like it was your fault. These are criminals. These are filthy criminals. Now, according to at least one juror, the guy that was out there all over the place today, there's still much suspicion among the rest of the jury that Rove and Cheney were involved. Well, yeah, you got to give the jury credit. They tried to focus on this little rat bastard Irving Libby. But like the juror said, you know, we were sitting there at one point trying to figure out why they were trying this guy. Where was Rove? And he almost said, and Cheney. But it came out, and the rest of them. This juror doesn't want to have a heart attack or commit suicide or be mugged on the streets of D.C., right, by naming Cheney. And I think the prosecutor, I got an email tonight that, that is very to the point. Let me find this, because this business with Cheney, this business with Cheney is what really really has me concerned. Now where is the email? Oh damn it! I'll find it at some point. But it looks like the dirt on Cheney might still be still implicate him on some level. It looks like Joe Wilson, Valerie Plame, might try to sue him. I don't know if that's, well, I guess a civil suit, yeah, because the little trailer trash chick from Arkansas sued President couldn't keep his pants up. And the Supreme Court ruled that, yeah, a sitting executive can be sued. So, you know, they'll sue him. I wonder if that blood clot is going to force him to resign, huh? What do you think? How convenient. But that wouldn't shield him from a lawsuit, would it? But what do you expect from the most vengeful administration in history? Let's not forget what got the Bush crime family in trouble with the so-called leak gate to begin with. It was their insistence that they would hurt and discredit a war critic who was exposing their lies about Iraq. Ah, well, none of that. Let's try and get his wife killed. So what if other agents get exposed too? It's all just collateral damage to these thugs, right? And speaking of this most retaliatory, vengeful a bunch of criminals ever to occupy the executive branch, there were congressional hearings today in front of the House and the Senate to investigate why those eight federal prosecutors were forced to resign. And the questioning centered on three possible reasons. One, because they were investigating corruption against Republican lawmakers. Two, because they refused to bow to threats from Republican lawmakers like New Mexico Senator Pete Domenici. Domenici wanted indictments against certain Democrats before the midterm election, and if there's no case there, apparently Domenici wanted them to make up a case, or three, to make room for payoff appointments for Republican friendly allies who, thanks to a secret provision tucked away in the Patriot Act, can be handpicked by Gonzalez and serve indefinitely without Senate confirmation. You like that? You think these bastards were not absolutely sure what they were doing when they passed the Patriot Act? The Patriot Act has nothing to do with protecting America and everything to do with destroying the Constitution and giving extraordinary powers to the executive branch, which is in the hands of people who should not even be allowed to be Washington, D.C. dog catchers. Every single provision in the USA Patriot Act has to do with gutting civil liberties, protections that have evolved over this in this country for 200 years, protections for citizens, the integrity of the judiciary, the co-equal sense of the United States Congress where it concerns governance. All of that was to be shredded, stepped on, and flushed down the toilet by these rat bastards. And the USA Patriot Act? USA Patriot Act. Jesus. USA Nazi Act. Federal attorneys have the power. They have probably more power to discredit a person or cause hell in a person's life than even the Congress of the United States, a federal prosecuting attorney. They have extraordinary power. That's why, whether they're Democrat or Republican, they have to be men and women of absolute integrity. I'm not saying that all federal attorneys always have been, but for the most part, I think these attorneys understand the tremendous power they wield. You can be goddamn sure that Pete Domenici and Dick Cheney and the rest of these rascals understand the power, and that's the reason the pressure was put on them, to get rid of them, the ones with integrity, and replace them with punk, cheap-ass thugs that would do the bidding of the Bush administration. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people?
High crimes and misdemeanors. High crimes and you're a fiend and fire. Shave my life.
I expect every member of this administration to stay well within the boundaries that define legal and ethical conduct. This means avoiding even the appearance of problems.
Past the hour. And by the way, in all the mouth-breathing by this useless media today, did anyone mention in talking about Louis Libby that he is one of the founders of PNAC, the Project for a New American Century? That group includes Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld, Paul Wolfowitz, Richard Pearl, John Bolton, Richard Armitage, Elliot Abrams, Zalmay Khalilzad, our current ambassador to Iraq, Louis Libby, Douglas Feith, and James Woolsey. Did anyone mention that connection? No, of course not. Wolf Blitzer probably doesn't know what PNAC is. I got an email here from Prairie 2 who said, Mike, while it is disappointing that no further charges are forthcoming in Plaingate, Special Prosecutor Fitzgerald did a couple of interesting things. First, he introduced into evidence Cheney's handwritten notes clearly implicating him in a felony. Today, Fitzgerald made a public statement that his investigation has stopped pending further revelations. He is sending a signal to the House Judiciary Committee. He is telling them that there's dirt to dig up, and that they can go ahead without interfering with his investigation. Since Oliver North beat the rap on Iran-Contra because of his testimony before a congressional committee, Congress has been reluctant to hold hearings in an active case. Making it clear that there is no active case gives them a green light to go after Cheney. Now, I might add to what Prairie 2 wrote, that depends on whether or not the Democrats are serious about pulling this country back from the brink of destruction that these right-wing animals have taken it to.
I just wanted to add, when you were reading that list of founding PNAC members, that it's ironic. If you notice Armitage's name in there, I believe
he is now
widely accepted as the originator of the leak.
Oh, yeah. The Project for a New American Century that laid out the blueprint for war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the ones who determined that what this country needed was another Pearl Harbor, and back in the late 90s tried to prevail on Clinton to invade either Iraq or Afghanistan or both. These are evil bastards. This is the organization that is chock-a-block with American Zionists and American right-wingers, just loaded with both of them.
And I guess one thing I find so disturbing among Cheney and Bush and all their statements today and the PNAC crowd and all the Republicans so far that I've noticed, no one seems to care about how this damaged the CIA and damaged our intelligence operations overseas and probably put several people's lives at risk.
Well, remember what Valerie Plame was working on when they outed her. And the outing of which resulted in we'll never know how many people being immediately killed. What Plame was working on was the Iranian nuclear development program, whether it was for peaceful uses for energy or nuclear weaponry, nuclear reactors, how far along they were. That's what Plame was working on. And it's my understanding that over the course of the past 10 or 12 years, she had developed inside Iran an extensive network of what they call assets, Iranians who may or may not have liked what was probably did not like the fact that they were run by a religious cartel of thugs, kind of like we're drifting to, and was working with Plame and the CIA. But the information apparently that Plame was getting was a clear indication that Iran had no interest at all in developing nuclear weapons. So another reason to out her, another reason to expose her and cause her human assets in Iran to be immediately executed. Dick Cheney, I've said this before, he is a killer. Every single one of these sons of bitches are just blood-soaked, and they don't care. They don't care how many people die. as long as it's not them or theirs. They don't care. Soldiers, CIA assets, civilians, families in Afghanistan trying to have a goddamn wedding, they don't care. Kill them all. These are murderers. These are the worst that America has ever produced. And they're running the country. And it raises the issue again and again and again. How much more of this are we going to take? How much more of this? Honest to God, what has to happen? What has to happen? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
Friends at the NSA and Homeland Security and listen to Mike Malloy every single night. They never miss a minute.
Oh, Jesus. 25 before the hour. Joining us now is Larry Stempler. Larry, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
One hell of a day, right?
Sure is. Mr. Libby is not a happy camper, but I think a lot of the United States citizens are.
Yeah, I think so. Larry Stempler, if you don't know, is a Democratic Party activist and is involved. And I'm not sure how, Larry, you're involved with the DraftGore.com petition.
Basically, I'm just a party activist and spokesperson who wants to see the best candidate in the race.
Yeah, it's starting to look like that candidate, given what's going on globally, should be Al Gore.
Well, it sure does, and wouldn't it be interesting that a potential Nobel Prize winner would also be our president? He was our president in 2000, but the Supreme Court took it away, and now is the chance for Americans to redeem themselves and reelect Al Gore, I like to think.
Yeah, you know, I mentioned the other night when the petition was around 46,000 that if America is serious about this, and this is just my take, Larry, it's not that important, but if America is serious about this, 46,000 signatures is what should have shown up on that website in about the first 12 hours. It should be around 2 or 3 million on two levels. First of all, to indicate that the American public understands the seriousness of the 2008 election, but secondly, to perhaps tilt Al Gore into running again. It's my understanding he's had enough. He's sick of it. He figured, you know, do you remember something Lyndon Johnson said years and years and years ago? He was referring, I think, to Mississippi Senator John Stennis. This is way back in 1,000 years ago. And Lyndon Johnson said, well, where it concerns Senator Stennis, it's better to have him inside the tent pissing out than outside the tent pissing in. And I wonder if Al Gore feels the same way, that he can be more effective outside of government.
Well, look, he's doing a great job since he's been out of government. There's no question about it. But I think it's up to us to convince him that we need him in the government. We need the best candidate out there and the most electable Democrat out there to be in the race. I'm not saying, you know, he's anxiously waiting for us, but I think if we and the people in the Draft Gore do their job, and like you said, get 12 million instead of, I think it's up to 53,000 signatures now, mm-hmm. we could convince him that the time is ripe. He was burnt in 2000. We all feel for him. And in some ways, you're right. But I think we, if we do our job well, and DraftGore.com, gets enough hits and gets enough signatures and run the right ads, we could convince them that the time is now to come in and do it.
All right, let me ask you this, if you don't mind. I don't know how you stand on this, but I personally feel that the American public, generally speaking, is the most politically ignorant currently in the history of this republic.
I don't mean to laugh, but you're taking my lines, or I guess okay. I'm stealing them from listening to you.
Okay.
It is so frustrating.
It is.
Trying
so how
to
do
talk
you, how,
to people,
how do
not
you
only are they ignorant, they don't want to be educated. That's why we elect people like George Bush. You know, he has a lack of inquiry. So does the American public. They're
all
complacent, and, you know, they're not asked to sacrifice. They don't understand what it is.
Right.
And they just go on with their lives and say, well, we won't make a difference. So what's the, you know, why should I even get involved? Why should I give money? Why should I care? And sadly, the American public is guilty of that. I think, however, on the other hand, what I do hear lately, and I think Iraq has a lot to do with this, they're realizing the consequences of their own laziness and their own complacency.
Well, I hope that's the case. This willful ignorance, though, that is the bedrock of contemporary American politics where it concerns us, the people, this willful ignorance, don't you think, or let me rephrase it, do you think that ignorance will come into play and people will say, oh, Al Gore, oh, for Christ's sake, you know, the last time he ran, he wouldn't even fight to retain the office that he won. To hell with him. I'm going to vote for Abe Snake, or, you know, pick a name.
Part of the ignorance is a lack of memory. And I think what they'll remember now is he just won an Academy Award. Inconvenient Truth is popular. They realize the terrible mistakes of the last 8 years. And I really believe that is not an issue or not an obstacle. And although there'll be some, I think it'll be such a small minority that it won't become a concern if we could convince them to get in.
Well, in your opinion, what is there a magic number or on this petition that Gore would look at and say, Jesus, maybe I ought to consider this? Or is it just anybody's call?
I frankly think it's anybody's call, but I do think there's a formula. And I think the formula is enough numbers combined with an implosion of at least the top, if not the top two, who are currently there.
You're talking about Bush and Cheney, of course.
Of course.
Or no? Are you? Or are you talking?
No, I'm talking about Hillary
Clinton
Obama.
And Obama.
I think if they start, there's a lot of chinks in their armor. I'm not here to talk about them, but we all understand their weaknesses.
Right.
If their weaknesses start to make them implode, a la the Howard Dean of the 2004, everybody thought he was going to run away with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, John Kerry had no chance.
Right.
If they start to implode and their numbers start to get weaker, I think that is an invitation, together with the movement which we're involved in, to bring Al Gore in.
The only fly in the ointment I see with that is that both Obama and Mrs. Clinton are going to have more money than you and I ever dreamed existed on this planet. And it's very
And that's a sad reality.
Well, sure
money
is
driving
sure.
a lot
but,
of this.
But,
and timing. Remember, we never had such an early primary season ever.
Right. But it, going back to the money, the fact that they're going to have this money almost precludes their poll numbers or whatever sinking so low that they can't recover. You know, money has bought elections in this country since, oh, I don't know, starting when? With Nixon in 72? Everyone knew that Nixon was a criminal son of a bitch, and yet he managed to take 49 of 50 states away from McGovern. So, you know,
I'm a little young for that. Although I was at voting age at that point, I really don't remember the history of the Nixon era.
Yeah.
But yeah, money has become a corrupting force in our politics, terribly so. Mm-hmm. And money is a factor, and I think it's another factor why Gore is not coming out right now. But of all the money people, and I've been around many of them, every one of them always say to me, if Gore came in, we would have to reconsider.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
that's a timing issue. If he reconsiders too late and the money's exhausted, that's a sad fact of reality which could face us. That's why we need to get people hitting that, you know, web page now, giving their contributions now, getting the ads out now. Time is of the essence in this. Unfortunately, even though it sounds like a long time, 1 year from now, we're probably going to know who the candidate's going to be.
What do you think, you may have already answered this, what do you think is the cutoff date? What is the latest that you see, the first primaries, when the big primaries are coming up, like you just said, in a year. What
right.
is the
well,
cutoff?
Well, February 5th is, I think, the main date, but I think there's New Hampshire, I think, is right before that. I can't really say I analyzed this, but I would think if he's not in by the summer, it's over. I don't think he'll be able to come in.
The summer that's at hand.
Yes.
Right.
I think we have a 6-month window best.
What?
That's my opinion. I haven't really discussed that with anybody.
Right. What do you think people should do other than sign this petition? I mean, in terms of letting Al Gore know that his time may be now. What should people do? Nobody listens to us. You see,
money talks. You did talk about money earlier. When people go on that webpage, they're going to see a place where they can make contributions. We need, whether it's $10 or $1,000, we need contributions. We need to get the ads in. We need to show him how important it is for him to come in this race and how he's needed, frankly, by us.
Well, I'll tell you, to be devil's advocate here, everybody is constantly being hit for money. A lot of folks that go to this webpage are going to say, wait a second, you know, my 10 or 20 bucks or 100 bucks is not going to help Al Gore, but it's going to put a dent in my weekly budget. So I'll tell you what, I'll sign the petition, but I'll leave it up to the money people, Al Gore, to find the money people to fund his campaign. A lot of people are going to say that. So aside from money, what should people do to let Al Gore know that there's interest in seeing him run again?
They got to put together neighborhood groups. They got to put together block parties. They got to start talking about him. They got to start remembering, thinking about his book, even if they just have a showing or a reading of his book and have people come around and begin to talk, get the buzz going. Mm-hmm. I frankly think the $10s and the $20 bills, most people, and I appreciate some can, but most people, if they start getting the right buzz, will give. Howard Dean started, I mean, you know, you speak to the Joe Trippies of the world, sure. That's how he started. The internet got him started with the minimum contributions. He didn't go to the money people, and he became, you know, in 2003, the major candidate.
That's true. All right.
So I really believe that we are a grassroots organization. And we need to start from the grassroots.
All right, Larry,
to educate.
Larry, we're flat out of time. Let's you and I talk again. Thanks for coming on the program today.
My pleasure,
okay?
Mike. Thank you for having me.
All right, take care. Larry
thank
Stempler, draftgore.com. Go take a look. Just go take a look.
Let Mike Malloy do it for you on Nova M Radio.
From those nads in Tiananmen Square, it's coming from the field that this ain't exactly real, or it's real but it ain't exactly there.
10 before the hour, Beth in San Francisco sent this email. Hello, Mike. Heard the story today and couldn't help but think of Dick Cheney. A Baltic man pierced Slobodan Milosevic's grave with a 3-foot pole so that his, quote, evil spirit never returns, end quote. The story mentions that the man was aiming at the heart. You think that someone would do this when Dick Cheney or Rumsfeldatu kicks the bucket? Well, one can hope. Michael Savage is having a complete breakdown, isn't he? Well, that figures. Eventually, all these right-wingers wind up in a rubber bungalow. All right, here's what the jury decided on Irving Libby. Count one, guilty, obstruction of justice. Libby did knowingly and corruptly endeavor to influence, obstruct, and impede the due administration of justice by misleading the grand jury about when and how he learned that Valerie Plame worked for the CIA and how he disclosed that information to journalists. Guilty, count two, a false statement. Libby did knowingly and willfully make a materially false, fictitious, and fraudulent statement in an FBI investigation when he misled agents about a July 10th, 2003 conversation with NBC's Tim Russert. Now, the fact is, on that one, he made the whole damn thing up. Remember, what's her name? Martha Stewart served how long in jail for just that, making a false statement to the FBI? How long was she in jail, Kathy? 18 months? 8 months? 6 months? Don't email me. I really don't care. I'm just saying she served 6-7 months in prison in a federal penitentiary for lying, making a false statement to an FBI. That's what she was found guilty of, period. Not insider trading. Count three, not guilty. There you go, Libby. This was a false statement. Libby misled the FBI about a July 12th, 2003 conversation with then-Time Magazine reporter Matthew Cooper, not guilty. Guilty on count four, perjury. Libby, while under oath, knowingly made a false material declaration to a grand jury about his conversation with Russert. And count five, guilty, perjury. Libby, while under oath, knowingly made a false material declaration to a grand jury about conversations with Cooper and other reporters. Guilty, 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 guilty. Now, I think we all are of the same mind here about, whether or not this rat bastard Irving Libby will serve any time in prison. The quick answer is no, of course not. If he can extend his petition for a new trial and his appeal, and the appeal of his appeal to December, Christmas, 08, that's when the Bushes love to pardon the criminals. If he can extend it that long, he'll get his pardon. And that explains the smug look on this rat bastard's face the entire time of the trial. And today, when he came out with his lawyer, there's no contrition there. There's nothing. He knows, as a PNAC member, he knows he's not going to go down. Oh, Jesus. What, Libby go to prison? No. Sorry. Forget about it. Never going to happen. There will be a pardon. Which is another reason to move to indict George W. Bush through an impeachment. But Libby knows, his attorney knows, Cheney knows, they all know. He's not going to prison. It's going to be like Pappy Bush did and pardoned six Iran-Contra criminals, six people who should have gone to prison. And Bill Clinton, when he took office, refused to reopen the case, or refused to take a look at what really happened. So the American public, once again, is totally ignorant of our complicity in the butchery of tens of thousands of Central Americans, most of them at the hands of John Negro Ponte, and Elliot Abrams, and Dick Armitage, and the rest of these rat bastards. Oh, man. We have some sound from Fitzgerald today that we're going to play for you. Well, one of the things we noticed today, we started the day before the breaking news, Libby verdict in at noon. Before that happened, Kathy and I were looking for, mostly Kathy, looking for, well, you tell her, what were you looking for today? The testimony in front of the Senate, Judiciary Committee?
No, it was the Senate Armed Services Committee, and they were hearing testimony. This is before, obviously, the Libby verdict broke. And they were hearing testimony again on Walter Reed, and we talked about this yesterday, and this is what we were going to do today. So at 9:30 this morning, I'm up and I'm down here trying to find, some kind of audio link or video link, and there wasn't one to be found. I ended up calling. I called the Senate. I called C-SPAN. C-SPAN said, yeah, they're going to air it after 8 o'clock tonight. The Senate Armed Services Committee guy said, yeah, he wasn't quite sure why there wasn't any video being shown anywhere. And even their own site, the audio link wasn't working. I thought, well, this is really strange. But then good old CNN, again, for you folks who have not subscribed to Pipeline, it is so valuable. I was able to find it on Pipeline and get most of it. I think they switched the streams a couple of times, but most of it was available on Pipeline. But that was it. That was the only way you could see uninterrupted live coverage if you wanted to.
Yeah, and it was amazing what they were showing on C-SPAN, all three channels, was garbage. Just garbage. They had that utterly worthless, what is that program, Washington Today, where the Washington Journal, where the various morons sit behind a desk while phone calls come in from other morons. I have yet to hear a reasonably intelligent call on that program from the left or the right. And the moron who sits there I don't know what he does. He shuffles papers and occasionally looks into the camera. And after a set period of time, he says, okay, thank you for calling Kansas City. You're on blah, 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 blah. That's what was on today while this critical hearing is going on. It's not astonishing. It's typical. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Welcome back. 6:30 past the hour. A couple of emails here. George in Seattle writes, regarding Matt Cooper from Time Magazine, Mike, 10 out of the 11 jurors voted guilty on the Cooper charge. The one juror who held out because he didn't feel that Matt Cooper kept good enough notes about the plane conversations with Libby to uphold the charge. Did y'all see that? It's all over the place. When Fox News went on the air with Britt Hume, a real Nazi dumbass, and the font underneath him said, Scooter Libby not guilty of of lying or whatever, you know, the one count. That's what Fox News... Is it any wonder that the people who listen to Fox News or watch Fox News are so grossly uninformed? You talk about willful ignorance. Jesus, God. George also writes from Seattle, Mike, I heard Howard Dean say today after the Libby verdict that the Democrats won't be investigating Plamegate anytime soon, if ever. Plamegate, as far as the Democrats are concerned, is over. Sure, they will call Bush and Cheney some names, but when it comes to actually doing something about it, they will do nothing. Mike, I've just about had it with the Democrats. They're a bunch of no-fight, spineless cowards. All the Democrats have done since we blew them into the majority is give away their power and then make excuses of why they can't act against Cheney and Bush. I'm sick of it. Pelosi, Reid, get off your asses and do what we elected you to do. And Planet X in Minneapolis, Xan. Subject line says, what is the truth and where is the justice? The email says, if Louis Libby is guilty of lying and obstructing justice, what is the truth and where is the justice? Libby was no neocon schmuck like Jeff Gannon Guckert or some such. He was the vice president's right-hand man. He was important in the neocon hierarchy. They don't just sacrifice someone like that because someone wrote something in the New York Times that says the president lied. Paul Krugman does that every week, and no one has been sacrificed for him. There is no way this is about Joe Wilson. The justice he was, no, still is, obstructing, and the lies he told are about Valerie Plame and Brewster Jennings. And the legitimate work that what's left of the CIA that hasn't been sabotaged or retired is doing. Now, in case you don't know, Brewster Jennings was the fake company set up by the CIA within which Valerie Plame conducted her CIA work. It was a fake company. And ironically, Brewster Jennings, I believe, was the name of one of the people who was a founder of Mobil Oil Corporation 1,000 years ago that eventually became ExxonMobil. Isn't that funny? Anyway, back to Exxon's email. You see, just like they were sure they won an election, that everyone was saying they didn't win. They were sure there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. And according to Wayne Madsen's report, there almost were, but something got in the way. Brewster Jennings, that company. They seem to have found the weapons of mass destruction in Turkey. The trouble was they didn't come from Iraq. They were going to Iraq. And Brewster Jennings, the Brewster Jennings Front Organization, probably knew all about the nuclear weapon parts flying all around the world and where they were coming from and going to, because that's what they were there to do. And the vice president can't have that because his fingerprints are all over it. Someone had to obstruct justice, and someone had to lie and be sacrificed. This may be some of what Sybil Evans stumbled upon when she translated for the FBI and got in trouble for finding the truth. As I recall, she was translating messages and such from Turkey. There is no doubt that Louis Libby is the tip of the iceberg. The question is, what's under the murky water, and will we ever get to see it before it's too late? Except for the fact that one of these bastards will go to jail, at least for a little while, there is little to celebrate with this verdict. No good chess player gets excited because his opponent just offered him a pawn. There's far more here than a piece of paper from Africa. Well, yeah, okay. No argument from me. From Ken, Mike, two prominent names that did sign on to the Statement of Principles of PNAC are Jeb Bush and Dan Quayle. Your listeners should file this away for future reference. P.S. just signed on to Draft Gore. From Adam, my Polish correspondent from Chicago. Mike, I fully understand to support this movement to draft Al Gore, but what is your opinion about Kucinich? My heart is tearing apart. I was Dennis's delegate to the DNC primaries. Can anything be done so that media even take note of him? Are we against some global conspiracy? I'm completely lost. Regards. Well, you don't have to draft Kucinich. He's running. He's an announced candidate. But no, the media is going to media are going to ignore him. It's one of those sad stories, but it's get used to it, Adam. I would vote for Kucinich in a heartbeat. I said that 4 years ago, or 3 years ago, or 5 years ago, whenever the hell it was. I also said, support Kucinich in the primaries, then vote for the Democrat, whoever that person is, in the general election, and we saw how that turned out. All right, last one. This is from Bill. Hi, Mike. Yeah, sure, Gore seems like a good guy, but I know how much you like to remind us about what went down the memory hole, so I would like to remind you that Gore picked Lieberman as his running mate. I won't say a word about Lieberman. We both have his number. I'm just wondering what was up with that. Was Lieberman there simply to report back to his masters in Tel Aviv, or was he going to be the puppet master as Dick Cheney is now? It's all very troubling. What was Gore doing, and why was he doing it? Lieberman? Lieberman? Jesus. What's really funny, though, at least from up in the frozen north, where it's minus 41 with the wind chill today, is the idea that Barack Obama is a, quote, serious, close quote, contender. He is there simply as a distraction, someone to take up Colin Inches while the secret government shuffles in a new master. A black president in America? Ha, ha, ha. That is so hilarious. There are no Democrats, no Republicans, just the good cop and the bad cop, both of whom work for the Bohemian Grove, Bilderberg, Trilateral Commission, crowd, whoever the blank they are. Here is my prediction. It's all coming apart. Every day, more people believe in the truth of 9/11 truth. The Iraq project is coming apart and is wildly unpopular, so the only thing left is to, quote, go big, end quote. So it's nuke Iran. Israel pushes into Syria, yada, yada. As a result of the crisis, the election in OA is suspended, martial law is declared, and the iron boot comes down for real into the face of America. Holy God, that's not a very optimistic outlook. The guy sounds like me. All right. We want to get to the sound bites. You want to start? You don't want to? Okay. All right. We have four or five of Patrick Fitzgerald after the Irving Libby verdict today. I will not call this little bastard Scooter. If he does go to prison, he better not use the name Scooter. He better come up with something else. Even if he goes to one of those plush country club style federal pens, which is where he would go. But Scooter is not going to go there. He's not going to go anywhere. You know that as well as I do. Scooter. Jesus Christ. How old is this guy? 55, 60, something? Scooter. Scooter. His name is Irving. Lewis. Libby. And he's a thug. And he hates America. America is second on his allegiance list. And he will do whatever it takes to serve power. And if that power is a rotten, decaying cyborg like Dick Cheney, so be it. He'll still serve him. Man, these people irritate me. I know. So what? All right, let's do a break. And when we come back, we will play the sound for you. All right? Patrick Fitzgerald, and then a couple of comments from Dana Perino, who the White House ran out to talk with the press corps today about, the usual non-answers, the usual stonewalling and bat squeeze. We'll have that for you when we come back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
I'd like to know who leaked. If anybody's got any information, they ought to take it to the Justice Department so we can find out the leaker.
Yeah, who was the leaker? Huh? We still don't know that. That's not what this trial was about, was it? Huh? What's that? Prison bitch? No, Irving Libby is never going to do any time. I guarantee you that. All right. Patrick Fitzgerald comes out after the verdicts and after this sorry piece of human waste. Irving Libby comes out with his... Either Irving Libby is very short or his attorney's a giant, but the two of them together look like Mutt and Jeff. Did you see that?
Who? Mutt and Jeff? What's that?
Oh, some of you will know. Here's Patrick Fitzgerald when he came out and took the microphones. This is from his opening remarks before he took questions from the really crack press corps.
Obviously, we are gratified by the jury's verdict today. The jury worked very long and hard and deliberated at some length over the charges and returned a verdict of guilty on four of the counts. The jury was obviously convinced beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant had lied and obstructed justice in a serious matter. The results are actually sad. It's sad that we had a situation where a high-level official, a person who worked in the office of vice president, obstructed justice and lied under oath. We wish that had not happened, but it did. And I want to thank the colleagues and investigators behind me who worked hard to make sure that we brought that to light and brought it to court and proved it beyond a reasonable doubt. And we're gratified by the jury's verdict and thankful for their service.
You know, when, I don't know. I can't editorialize on this guy, Patrick Fitzgerald, federal attorney from Chicago. That speaks volumes. Chicago is arguably the most politically corrupt city in America, has been since the 60s. when Pappy Daly was in charge. Junior Daly has been in charge with a couple of breaks in there for Jane. Forgetting her last name, and Harold Washington. It's been a Daly dynasty, but I don't know from Fitzgerald. I do know that he seems to be interested in the law. Some of the statements he made today were almost poignant, almost. I don't know. Well, here, maybe some of it is here. This is Fitzgerald answering some reporters' questions, including a question that gets to the crux of why Fitzgerald brought charges against Libby in the first place. This goes back to the beginning of the investigation in the fall of 2003. This reporter says, you've received a lot of criticism in the last couple of months because Richard Armitage had come forward and said he was the first leaker, and that you knew that at the beginning. Do you think this now justifies your investigation, and what do you have to say to those critics?
I would say this. It's not the verdict that justifies the investigation, it's the facts. And if people would step back and look at what happened here, when the investigation began in the fall of 2003, by that point in time, we knew Mr. Libby had told a story that what he had told reporters had come not from other government officials, but from reporter Tim Russert. It's also now public that by that point in time, the FBI had learned that, in fact, Tim Russert did not tell Mr. Libby that information. In fact, Tim Russert didn't know it. Tim Russert could not have told him. And for us, as investigators and prosecutors, to take a case where a high-level official is telling a story that the basis of his information wasn't from government officials but came from a reporter, the reporter had told us that was not true. Other officials had told us the information came from them. We could not walk away from that. And it, to me, it's inconceivable that any responsible prosecutor would walk away from the facts we saw in December 2003 and say, there's nothing here, move along, folks. And none of us on the team could walk away from what we knew in the December 2003 and walk away from that. And so we brought charges, we went to trial, and we proved the case. So we think the facts justify themselves.
He also, I guess we don't have the particular soundbite, but he's talking in his statement today after the verdict. He also talked about how crucial it is in the application of justice that when someone is placed under oath, they tell the truth. Very simply, they tell the truth. Now, that was a stark reminder to me of how far we have come from that. That truism in the age of Bush, going back to the age of Reagan. These people are filthy, corrupt liars, Republicans. Republican, liar, the terms are interchangeable. And what impressed me about Fitzgerald and almost makes me modify my statement about all Republicans are liars is what he said about that. And I think it's worth noting that Fitzgerald was offended because justice, there was an attempt made to destroy justice or application of the law.
You can have my Shinka or my sweet Kielbasi. You can have my pierogi. Bring me back my Kiska. Who stole the Kiska? Who stole the Kiska? Who stole the Kiska from the butcher shop? Yaka found the Kiska. Yaka found the Kiska. Yaka.
He's in the jailhouse now.
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 I told him once or twice to quit playing cards and shooting dice. He's in the jailhouse now.
Very comfortable in the job because I've got great advice and advisors to whom I get good advice from great advisors to whom I listen.
Oh, Jesus. All right, Patrick Fitzgerald again, the special prosecutor, but he took pains to explain he's not a special prosecutor. Special prosecutor issues a report at the end of an investigation whether anyone is found guilty or not. That's what Ken Starr did after investigating the Clintons' every way possible, Ken Starr had to issue a report that said there was no crimes had been committed. Fitzgerald is a special attorney. I don't even think the word special is used there. But anyway, in fairness, Fitzgerald was scrupulous to a fault here and would not answer a question relating to Cheney's possible role in the leaking of Valerie Plame's identity, because Cheney was not on trial, he said. But he did answer this related question that seems to prove Cheney's involvement in the leak and thus established a basis for a lawsuit against Cheney by the Wilsons. The question from the reporter was, the indictment says that Mr. Libby originally learned the identity of Ms. Plame from the vice president, who had gotten it from someone, presumably someone in the CIA. Do you know about that transaction between the person in the CIA and the vice president, how that came about, why that was important to your indictment?
I won't say anything beyond what was said in the trial about from Mr. Libby's grand jury testimony about what he'd understood in the note. And the only relevance to that point was to show that Mr. Libby had the information he gave out from an official source and understood that the vice president had it from an official source, not from a reporter. So it would be a very different case if the vice president learned it from Mr. Russert back in June and then told Mr. Libby. If he was passing on a reporter's rumor, that would be very different than if he was passing on official information. So the contention we made was that Mr. Libby learned it from a number of officials, first learning it from the vice president. And what was important to establish was that the vice president learned it from official channels, so that Mr. Libby had an understanding that this was all official information, which is very different than saying it was a rumor he heard from a reporter.
Right. And in learning it from the vice president, who obviously then told him to leak it, but that's another story. Already, just got an email from Van, I believe it's Van, editorial from the National Review Online. They're demanding that Libby be pardoned already. See, it doesn't take long for these right-wing pissants to circle the wagons, huh? Finally, last one from Fitzgerald for tonight, perhaps forever. A reporter asked about the longstanding neocon defense, the one that you hear if you listen to this filthy Rush Limbaugh and this disgusting little imitation Sean Hannity. The defense of the Bush crime family's illegal leaking of Plame's identity based on the fact that she was not really a classified CIA agent. How many times, I don't know if you listen to the Pig Man. I used to listen, I haven't listened to him for about 8 or 10 months. I just can't anymore because it makes me want to kill stuff and set things on fire, and I just can't do it. But I can remember hearing him and the little pissant out of New York, Sean Hannity, talking about, well, she wasn't really a CIA agent, which shows that, again, once again, always and forever, the depth of ignorance of Sean Hannity and the Pig Man, Rush Limbaugh. It's right up there in the same niche as Fox News, as Brit Hume, and the rest of these jerk balls. The reporter asked this question, was there clear evidence in the trial that the information about her was indeed classified?
On the face of the indictment, it states that her relationship with the CIA was classified, and I have 100% confidence in that information, and we would not plead it in an indictment. While we didn't make it an issue at the trial, because the issue was whether or not Mr. Libby perjured himself under oath, there is no doubt that her relationship with the CIA was classified, and that's just a fact.
Oh, another one of these pansy-ass liberals, probably a faggot from Chicago. There he is, folks, Patrick Fitzgerald, lying through his teeth. Everybody knows, don't we, that Valerie Plame was not a classified agent, did not work under cover. She was just some bitch who walked around filling in papers, right? Huh? And her punk-ass husband was nothing but a Democratic Party operative, right? Why, sure. Besides that, what about Bill Clinton? Huh? Jesus God. White House Deputy Press Secretary Dana Perino came out today. You almost feel sorry for her. She had to pull tough duty today while Tony Snow was off doing God knows what, probably having his third lobotomy. But deer in the headlights, Dana was left to discuss the Libby verdict with the White House reporters. Dana haltingly begins with this statement.
Obviously, we have a verdict from the jury, and the Scooter Libby trial.
Mm-hmm.
Let me start off by saying that the president was informed by, he was in the Oval Office.
Oh, my goodness.
He saw the verdict read on television.
He did.
Chief of Staff Josh Bolton and Counselor Dan Bartlett were with him.
Uh-huh.
He said that he respected the jury's verdict.
Verdict?
That he was saddened for Scooter Libby.
Libby?
And his family.
Family?
And that the White House direction from here on out, and I know that there's going to be a lot of disappointment with this, but there is an ongoing criminal proceeding. Scooter Libby's attorneys just announced that they are going to ask for a new trial and that they are going to, failing that, they would appeal the verdict. And so our principled stand of not commenting on an ongoing legal investigation is going to continue. I know that's going to be very disappointing for many, but that is the decision that we're going to, that we've made.
That's a decision that we made. And, I mean, like, let me start off by saying, like, that the president, you know, was informed. He was in the that round place, the Oval Office. Like, he saw the verdict read on television. And Chief of Staff Josh Bolton and Counselor Dan Bartlett, they were with him.
You know, if you, like, take a beer and some eggs, and, you know, you can make a really cool conditioner for your hair, and then, you know, later on you can feed it to your dog, and he'll go to sleep for a really, really, really long time.
And so our principled stand of not commenting on an ongoing legal investigation is going to continue? Well, that means that you rat bastards will never comment, because by the time you decide to comment, the little piglet in the White House will have pardoned this anti-American thug. I know it's got to be hard for Dana Perino or Dana, for anybody, to try to defend the Bush crime family. So you know, that's why they're forced to adopt the, it's an ongoing legal proceeding. Like, I mean, you know, they're going to, what's that? They're going to appeal it. And if they appeal it and it doesn't work, then they'll probably appeal it again.
Oh, shut up. What do you know? I'm just standing here until Tony Snow comes back. Oh, my God. Like, did you see him today? I mean, could his head get any bigger?
And since this is what they do, that's why they're forced to adopt the ongoing legal proceeding defense of their refusal to tell the truth. But here's a reporter took a stab at it anyway, asking about a possible pardon. Will Libby get a last-minute lame duck Bush pardon, or will the late ultimate Bush crime family fall guy, or will he be? The reporter begins, let me ask you about some of the congressional reaction, Dana. You have Senator Reid saying that President Bush must pledge not to pardon Libby for his criminal conduct. What's the reaction to that?
Well, I'm aware of no such request for a pardon, and as with as is afforded to all Americans, there is a process that is followed in which to apply for a pardon. And I don't think that speculating on a wildly hypothetical situation at this time is appropriate.
So you're not closing the door to it. You're leaving the door open to
it. I'm not commenting on a hypothetical situation. I think that that is the best way to respond to that. I think that there's a process in place for all Americans, if they want to receive a pardon from a president, be that any president that is in office, and I'm aware of no such request.
Would the president be receptive to that?
It is a hypothetical situation. I've never even brought it up with him.
Just leave me alone. I'm not really supposed to be out here, and Tony Snow is off doing something. I don't know what he's doing. But, you know, I mean, my God. I mean, like, a pardon is, you know, it's a thing. Jesse in Boynton Beach wrote in referencing the editorial already at National Review. Jesse writes, I'm watching Hardball tonight, and there was some moron neocon from the National Review calling for an immediate pardon for Libby. He repeated the lie that Plame was not undercover and was allowed to get away with it. Yeah, well, Jesse, you don't expect Chris Matthews, a Tweety Bird, to be he doesn't ask questions. He's a shouter. He's an arrogant little twit who is really a Republican. He's like Ed Schultz. He's a Republican in drag. We all know this. Everybody knows that about Chris Matthews. Jesse writes, these neocons just don't for a second stop lying, and Chris Matthews has saliva dripping off his chops, orchestrating the whole scene for our consumption, like throwing red meat to starving jackals. Problem is, no one is really watching. I talked to people at work today, and not one person even knew what I was talking about. Does following the Libby trial make you a wonk? I thought I was a concerned citizen wanting justice for laws broken by our highest elected officials. Oh, and there's more, but I got a break. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You freaking liar. The world has changed after September the 11th. It's changed because we're no longer safe. Saddam Hussein is determined to get his hands on a nuclear bomb.
Nuclear weapon.
Nuclear weapon.
Nuclear weapon.
Don't go to bed angry. Let Mike Malloy do it for you on Nova M Radio.
10 before the hour, I just want to finish Jesse's email here. He wrote in about watching the news today and then watching Chris Matthews allow people to come on his little toy television program and just say the most outrageous things, like a National Review dude calling for an immediate pardon. Anyway, Jesse said, I talked to people at work today, and not one person even knew what I was talking about regarding Libby. Does following the Libby trial make you a wonk? I thought I was a concerned citizen wanting justice for laws broken by our highest elected officials. Chris Matthews is asking the pundits if he will flip, Libby will flip and give up Cheney. Not if he wants to be found hanging in his cell with a note saying he couldn't go on anymore, he was so depressed. I'm sure Libby remembers Kenny Boy's, quote, heart attack, end quote. I'm sure Bush 41 can help Sonny Boy with, quote, how to pardon a felon for dummies instructions on what to do since he did such an excellent job with his Iran-Contra crew. Nothing like a pardon to cap off the worst presidency ever. Yeah, it really is a joke, isn't it, the whole thing? We all ought to just go home. Kathy, do we have enough money in the bank that I can retire? Okay, never mind.
Like, are you totally serious?
This is from Schlepp? R. Schlepp? Really? Is that? Okay. Two quick things here on C-SPAN. I made a remark about C-SPAN. About C-SPAN, callers are not screened. And there are many, many cretins who call in. There are also lots of thoughtful people. The best part of the show is the first half hour or so when you can see who's gotten to the phones first. When I get frustrated with the idiots calling in, I remember what Brian Lamb has said. These are the people around you in the grocery lines. Way too many guests on the show are establishment types, and that is frustrating. But often, when the public's dander is up, it's interesting to watch the weasels try to fast-talk their way out with even more bull stuff. The hosts on the Journal are not supposed to be partisan. I don't listen to C-SPAN to hear a Mike Malloy. Give him a break, Mike. I know Imus can be interesting, but there's no way that show provides a feeling for what regular folks are thinking. Well, yeah, but isn't that kind of a non sequitur? I don't listen to Imus for that. I listen to Imus, the same reason I eat Krispy Kreme donuts, you know, or used to. And then this. This is from Red Ruby. This is from about a year ago. In the December issue of Extra, Fair published a study of the guest list on C-SPAN's Washington Journal. Though C-SPAN's flagship viewer call-in program prides itself on its reputation for fairness, Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting's study found that that reputation does not reflect reality. Extra, exclamation point, that's the magazine, the journal, studied Washington Journal's guest list, tabulating all 663 guests who appeared on the show in the six-month period from November 1, 2004 to April 30, 2005. Guests were classified by gender, ethnicity, party affiliation, if any, and occupation. The study also looked at the think tanks and most prominently represented on the show. Among the most striking findings, Here they are. Of the partisan guests, Republicans outnumbered Democrats nearly 2-1, 134-70. Not a single representative of a third party appeared during the study period. People of color made up only 15% of Washington Journal's guest list, 100 out of 663. People of African and Asian heritage accounted for 4% each, while those of Middle Eastern and Latin American descent represented 3% each. No Native Americans were identifiable during the six-month period. Male guests outnumbered women by 4-1, 80% to 20%. Moreover, 69% of guests were white males, while just 3% were women of color. Journalists accounted for nearly a third of all guests, 32%, the largest single occupational group on the guest lists. Of opinion journalists, 32 were right of center, 19 left of center. And citizen-based organizations and public interest groups accounted for just 9% of total guests. So, you know, once again, no offense to anybody who's emailed in about that, but, you know, once again, appearances are incredibly deceiving. Brian Lamb says, okay, our phone calls are not screened. So what? That doesn't mean squat. You know, the phone, I could say that. The phone calls here aren't screened. Ian will make sure we don't have some weird jackass, but we don't screen out, do we, Kathy, for topic or point of view? We invite these right-wing dribbling morons to call in.
No, if you've ever heard the show more than once or twice, you pretty much understand there's not a lot of screening.
No, we don't screen. So what? Does that mean that this show is balanced? Hell no! Get real!
No, it just means that most Republicans are too chicken to call the program.
Well, that's true, but I'm saying, just, you know, Brian Lamb saying, well, we don't screen our calls, therefore we present a balanced point of view, is bat snot. I don't screen my, or Ian doesn't screen my calls, but I no more present a balanced point of view. Well, you know, if you want to hear that, you listen to people who are capable of doing that, like Tom Hartman. I'm not capable of doing that.
Well, and Brian Lamb certainly isn't going to keep anybody awake at night. That's another thing.
Well, that's very true.
But I think we should do that. I think we ought to have the Republican line.
No.
And the No, I want to do it.
No, the last time I had...
we have a Republican calling in from Kansas.
The last time I had somebody from the right on, if you remember, it was that half-wit from Christian Action Network who wanted to tell me about gay days in Disney World. And I just went over the top with him and started talking about... they ought to just allow gay days and then have Christian Action Network fly over Disneyland and drop a couple of well-placed napalm bombs.
And the guy called you a fine American.
Yeah, he called me a fine American.
That was brilliant.
Because I was advocating burning alive other human beings. That's still posted on our website, that interview.
It's somewhere. The Christian, the can guy.
Christian Action Network.
That was hilarious.
What a bunch of murderous. And that was the last. And I just don't do right-wing guests. I'd like to imagine them all in hell, their hell. I just don't want anything to do with them. We'll be back after the break. This is the Nova M Radio Network. It's about 7 past the hour. We have one more, and it was on the stack here, I just didn't see it. One more Dana Perino quote, the White House Deputy Press Secretary. This is in regard to regarding the firing of the eight attorneys, the eight federal attorneys, or is it up to 10 now? All you need do is look at the guilty verdict today and understand why federal attorneys are being fired. And of these federal attorneys that have been fired, I think all 10 of them were Republicans. But so is Fitzgerald. And you can't have this. Carolyn, I think that was her first name, Lamb, the federal attorney in California, San Diego, that what's his name in jail? The member of Congress out there. What the hell is his name? 80 people will send it to me, so I'm not too concerned. Federal attorneys have a tremendous amount of power. And the Bush crime family does not want that kind of power out there that they can't directly control. So what they're trying to avoid is what happened today. Now, let me make a clarification here. A couple of people have emailed me and said, well, you know, we watched that hearing on C-SPAN today, so you and Kathy are wrong. Folks, we're talking about two different hearings. The hearings that were not broadcast anywhere today except on Pipeline, CNN Pipeline, that we're aware of, were the ongoing hearings on the Walter Reed situation. We know that the special prosecutor hearings were live. We sat here and watched it. So what we're talking about, the Walter Reed hearings with the two generals, Waitman and Wiley Kiley, and somebody else, those hearings before the Senate Armed Service Committee, those were not televised anywhere today. And we wanted to see that because Clinton is on that committee. McCain is on that committee. Wanted to see what they had to say. Who? Carl Levin. Yeah. So anyway, this is the last one. After repeating endlessly that she would not comment on the Libby verdict.
It's an ongoing investigation.
No, it isn't. The investigation's over. The bastard was found guilty, Dana. It's a closed investigation. It may be an ongoing legal proceeding, but as Mike in Minneapolis point out, so is a traffic ticket. Anyway, the question for this poor Dana Perino, and stuff, then turned to the topic of a different scandal involving revenge against persons who dare challenge the Bush crime family, the retaliatory firing of federal prosecutors who didn't play by their dirty rules and stuff. Dana gets all Tony Snow, know-nothing, buck-passing in a response. Reporter says, Dana, the former U.S. attorney from Maryland by the name of Tom DiBiagio, is quoted in New York Times this morning as saying that he believes he was forced to resign because of pressure surrounding the political investigations that he was undertaking. Did the Justice Department try to hush up the fired prosecutors from talking about their cases?
Not that I'm aware of. I don't believe so. Terry.
Did the Justice Department try to hush up the fired prosecutors from talking about their cases?
Not that I'm aware of. I saw that testimony today, but it was the first I'd heard of it.
And six of the eight people who were fired said today thought that their thoughts would be welcomed by the Justice Department and they could be freely and openly debated, but that's not the case. Is the administration trying to stifle dissent from these people?
Yeah, I would refer you to the Justice Department for the merits of their decision, but what I can tell you is that the Justice Department did, as with any agency that wants to make a change in a political appointee status, let the White House know that they were thinking of making a change of these political appointees and asking them to resign. The White House, it would have been unusual if they hadn't have told the White House about it. We did not disagree with their recommendations, and Justice Department moved forward to implement their plan.
How about Karl Rove's office? Do you know if he was involved?
I don't believe so.
Karl Rove escapes again! Is the administration trying to stifle dissent from these people? And Dana, who obviously is a quick study, says, I would refer you to the Justice Department. Tony Snow would have said, I refer you to the Department of Defense. But, you know, when the prosecutors and stuff, you know, when they come up with stuff, it's like, you know, yes, they check with us sometimes or not.
Like, gag me with a gavel.
these federal prosecutors seem to have been forced to resign for one of three reasons. Either because they were investigating corruption against Republican lawmakers. Okay? Or because they refused to kowtow to the threats from Republican lawmakers, like New Mexico Senator Pete Domenici and the representative out there, the woman whose name escapes me. And what they were pressuring is a rush on indictments against Democrats who were running against them before the midterm election. Or third, to make room, get rid of these attorneys to make room for payoff appointments for Republican-friendly, that means Cheney-friendly allies who, thanks to the secret little provision tucked away in the Patriot Act, these attorneys can be handpicked by Gonzalez and Cheney and whoever and can serve indefinitely without Senate confirmation. So, once again, the Bush crime family continues its unrelenting assault on the system of justice in this country, such as it is, on the legal system, such as it is, on the judicial system, the judicial branch of government, the legislative branch of government. And there are still people out there, all right-wingers, all Republicans, who don't believe that this administration is hell-bent on instilling first-class A-number-one corporate fascism in the United States. You people have my deepest sympathy and utter, absolute contempt. Because you are dumber than dog snot. You really are. Now, let's do some phone calls. Let's start with George in Denver. Thanks for holding on, George. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
Hey, do you have any openings for bureau chief for Northwest Denver?
Say again, Northwest, we don't.
Can I be your Northwest bureau chief?
Oh, God, I don't know. Let me think. Okay.
Hey, I was going to say that Libby will just wear this as a badge of honor. When he's walking around the Carlisle group.
Mm. Well, there's a lot of truth to that. In the old mafia families, I'm not talking about these new punks, but in the old mafia families, the kind my grandfather used to tell me about, it was a badge of honor to have been challenged by the authorities and to uphold the ritual of omerta in the Italian families, which meant silence. You just didn't talk. And if you went to jail or back in the old country, if you were tortured by the police in Sicily or Italy, and if you survived the torture and still didn't talk, you were considered to be a hero. So, even though Irving Libby is not Italian, I think you're right. I think he will strut around telling people, well, I upheld the sanctity of omerta. I did not talk.
Hey, I know how. I know,
does that make any sense?
Yes, it did.
Okay, great.
I know how to get the troops home.
How to get them home?
Focus in on Building 7. Because it's like a house of cards. And Building 7 is the main card. There's no way Building 7 came down in a fire. It's obviously a controlled demolition. All four corners of the building come down at the exact same second.
Right. And, now, and I agree. And
a 50-story skyscraper
made
of steel.
I know. George, there are lots of people who agree with that. And I'm not trying to patronize you here. I'm just saying, I've said this before. In order for a huge minority or a plurality or even a majority of the American people to accept that idea, they have to get their minds around something that is impossible. And that is that a president of the United States and his administration were active participants in an act of murder on U.S. soil that took the lives of 3,000 people. And I don't think this generation, that's yours and mine, or the one that comes after, or the one that comes after that, or 10 generations from now, I don't think they'll be able to get their minds around that. Hold on. Where'd he go? Is he gone? Oh, Jesus. All right, well, I was going to talk to you, and now let's take a break.
I've had enough of reading things. I knew what it's like, but it pit-headed politicians. All I want is the truth. Just
Republicans. The pain will be over soon. Take a deep breath. Find your happy place. It's more of Mike Malloy.
You wake up every day and you start to cry. But you wanna die. It has to happen to the best of us.
21 past the hour. Okay, last email for tonight, and then back to your phone calls. This is from Cheryl in Albuquerque. Excuse me. Mike, as you may have guessed, I tune into Fox News every once in a while. I mainly do so because I want to know what they're up to over at the Fair and Balanced Network. Today I was watching the Libby trial on MSNBC. During a commercial break, I switched the channel to Fox because I was curious as to how the anchors on Fox are going to spin today's events. I wasn't disappointed. They were spinning the verdict like a top. I don't know the names of the Fox anchors, but I believe it was the morning crew, a blonde lady and some middle-aged guy. In addition to these two people, the Fox, quote, legal analyst, end quote, was also commenting on the verdict. Guess how they spun it? They blamed the jury. That's right, they blamed the damn jury. The so-called legal analyst said the jury had asked so many questions while in deliberations they, quote, obviously didn't know what Libby has even been charged with, end quote. The blonde lady asked the legal analyst, quote, how quickly can we expect an appeal because clearly the jury had issues, end quote. Unfortunately, millions of people watch this network. Some people really do believe Fox is fair and balanced in their reporting. What's even more disturbing is that Fox appears to be the channel of choice for many businesses. For example, the vet that I take my pets to always has Fox on in the waiting area. The dentist that I go to has Fox on in the waiting area. When I go to Sears, Target, Best Buy, or whatever, Fox is on all the TVs. The American people are slowly being brainwashed, not only by Fox News, but also by the corporations and businesses that support Fox's partisan agenda. Some people are too naive to see it happening. Others don't care that it is, and in fact, support it. Several months ago, I did complain to the veterinarian's office. I told them I didn't appreciate watching a network full of liars while I wait to have my dog seen. The response I got was that I should sit in another area of the waiting room where the TV cannot be seen or heard. I think I should change vets. Cheryl, Albuquerque. P.S. Yesterday I wrote you about the nurses caring for my husband while he is in the hospital. Today's nurse asked him who Scooter Libby was. My husband came home today, so we won't have to deal with political inept nurses anymore. Yeah, Cheryl wrote to me the other day about her husband and the blind, willful ignorance of some of the medical people who were attending to him while he was in hospital. Okay. Let's go back to your phone calls here. Who's been holding on for over 2 hours? Oh, Leonard in Glendale, Arizona. Hey, Leonard.
Hey there, sir. I'm just calling up to say thank you for keeping the word out. Mr. Malloy, if they ever take you off and Jeff Farias off, we're going to start another darn station. We're going to do it again because no matter what they do, I know as long as you are out there and Jeff is out there and the rest of us are out here listening and not just being a bunch of sheep, we're going to retake our country back. And I just wanted to call and just have the honor of saying hi and thank you for your courage. And, you know, I'm just wondering what's coming next. I don't know what more it's going to take. I mean, it's obvious Cheney, the notes that he has, posted at truthout.org, showing that President Bush is implicated in this whole scandal with Libby.
Oh, sure.
What's it going to take? And I'm worried. I want to make sure our Democratic the leaders, we support the ones that are really pushing for this, the grassroots progressive Democrats of America and these groups, because, you know, I'm worried about some of the people that are leaning towards the right saying, well, you can't be using such language against these Republicans. You know, no, they're murderers, Mike. They're murderers. They know what happened. And yes, we can demonize them. In most cases, I wouldn't demonize an opponent. But when your opponent really is a demon, I think that it's an appropriate term when they can have thousands of our soldiers being killed right now as we speak. You know, I mean, knowingly doing that. So anyways, I just wanted to say thank you and please stay strong out there. And like I said, if they ever try to take you or Jeff off the air, guess what? We'll find us another friggin' station. They're not going to shut you up, and they're not going to shut Jeff up, no matter
all
how.
All right. All right. Thanks, Leonard. I appreciate what you had to say. I don't take compliments very well, but I appreciate what you said, and thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. I've got an let's just go back to the calls. Let's go back to the calls. We got a break here? Jeez. All right. We will continue with your calls in just a moment, right after this particular break. And obviously what we're focused on this evening is the ending of the trial of Irving Lewis Libby and the fact that he was found guilty on 4 or 5 counts and the fact that he will be pardoned. It will be a cover-up. There is so much more that the Plame investigation should have uncovered and did not. So we shall just ride this horse the way we've ridden the other ones, and when it becomes lame, we'll shoot it, or something like that. I have no idea.
The next best thing to an impeachment hearing, it's Mike Malloy on Nova M Radio.
Hey, little sister, what have you done? Hey, little sister, who's the only one? Hey, little sister, who's your Superman? Hey, little sister, who's the one you want?
25 before the hour, Joe is calling from Brookings, Oregon. Joe, welcome to the program. Hey, Joe.
Hello.
Yeah, Joe.
Oh, hi there. Yeah, I'm on the show right now?
Well, no. Actually, we're in a field cutting corn. Yes, you're on the program.
Yes. Well, I want to talk about the whole Scooter Libby deal, the fact that the Democrats need to get off their lazy asses on this deal, because I don't think we're going to get any justice through the courts. After all, you have the thing, you know, well, Scooter Libby gets he gets convicted today, just like the Ken Lay thing last year. What, they're going to wait 3 months to sentence Scooter Libby? And I don't know, a lot can happen in 3 months. I mean, I think we kind of saw
year. 3 months to sentence him. Is that what they said?
Yeah, they sentenced him in June.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and, this is all kind of a set-up deal to me, kind of smells like to me. I mean, they went ahead and took the one juror off. Did they decide this thing with 11 jurors, Scooter Libby trial?
There was one that was dismissed.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Yeah.
So I was wondering, was this an 11-0 decision, or did they get somebody to replace that juror? Because I was wondering.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, so I was wondering, these scumbag attorneys. I mean, they're gonna, you know, if they're gonna be able to get this overturned on appeal just because of this, they say there was something funny about the.
No. The judge ruled when that juror was let go. The judge ruled that the trial could continue with the jury makeup as it was when that juror left. So no, there's
so that wouldn't be any basis.
No,
for
that's
appeal.
Not a basis for an appeal. No.
Okay. Oh no, that's good. That's good. That's great news. But but still, though, it's my opinion. The Democrats in Congress, they need to get off their lazy asses. They're the ones that are going to have to do something about this situation, because I don't know. I just don't trust the whole deal with the courts. Things just don't move fast enough through the courts. You know, just something funny always comes up when it comes to this sort of thing. You know, and I got my second or third form letter in the mail from my congressman, Peter DeFazio, like yesterday. Mm-hmm. And explaining to me once again why impeachment, trying to impeach Bush, is really not the way to go. And he gives a, and he gives all these reasons, you know, not to do it. You know, I'm getting sick of this crap.
Well, yeah, but you really don't think, do you, Joe, that Irving Libby will ever, ever, ever be sent to prison? You really don't, do you?
No, not really, no.
No, okay. All right.
So,
all right. Well, thanks, Joe. I appreciate you checking in. Take care. Have a nice evening. Jim is calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Jim, welcome to the program. Hello, Jim.
Hello. I don't understand. I mean, I was in the Marine Corps, you know, when Clinton was in office. We all knew there was weapons over there, but why would you send a public figure to the CIA to look for weapons of mass destruction? Yellow cake, i.e. yellow cake.
What are you talking about? Wait a minute. Stop. Don't go nuts on me. Obviously, you're a right-winger. Don't go nuts on me.
No, I'm not a right-winger.
Wait. Hold on. Take a deep breath. Nobody sent Joe Wilson to look for weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. Joe Wilson was sent by counter-proliferation officials at the CIA to find out whether or not the story of receiving Iraq looking for what is called yellow cake coming from the African country of Niger was correct. And what he found out was it was a lie. Now it has nothing. No, wait. You guys always just go goddamn nuts on me. Now stop it. I don't care if you were on the moon. Because you're in the Marine Corps gives you no, absolutely no special privileges on this program. Do you understand that?
Look, I don't want such
privileges. No. I'm going to cut you. Get rid of him. Dump him. What do you want? What is it that you want, Jim? Jim.
Is to understand.
Understand what?
Okay. How you send a public official.
Now, what are you talking about? Who sent? I just answered your question. The CIA sent a known person. A known person? What are you talking about? God, you guys come across as so stupid. What are you talking about? What do you mean a known person? This guy was a former ambassador. He was sent to talk Jesus Christ.
He was a former ambassador, a known person, a public official, not somebody that could work their way in.
What difference does it make? What did he find out?
He didn't find out anything.
All right, goodbye. Dump this guy. Get him off my program now. Thank you. Don't ask me, Kathy, to keep talking with these half-assed morons that you can't. There's no way. Their brains locked down. He thinks Joe Wilson was sent to Iraq to look for weapons of mass destruction. He thinks that there's something wrong in sending, what do you call him, a public figure. I can't handle this. I can't handle this ignorance. Every single time we get one of these right-wingers, they come across like that. No! Jesus God, what's wrong with you people?
I would have just wanted to ask Jim personally. Maybe I should have asked him. What difference it makes if they sent Captain Kangaroo? Did that give Irving Libby the right?
I asked him what difference that made, and he goes back to his, these people are so programmed. They are so unbelievably programmed. They have an endless loop going off in their heads that was put in there on the last Rush Limbaugh program. If they call on Wednesday evening, it means that the loop was put in there Wednesday afternoon by the pig man. This is all these people are able to do is repeat that loop over and over and over again. I don't care if they're Marines or gas station attendants or bank presidents. I don't give a damn who or what they are. They cannot think. They cannot critically evaluate. They cannot ask a question. And I don't want these ignorant bastards on my program. I just don't want them. I give them all a chance until that happens. And then they're gone. I don't want to hear them. Ever.
Again, I mean, Ambassador Wilson's status or whatnot is completely irrelevant in the trial.
Of course.
Scooter Libby was not convicted.
But do you think you or I,
Ambassador Wilson found or didn't find?
Do you think you or I could explain it to that last half-assed caller?
No, I just want to make sure that, you know, that point is made, that it is not at all tangential to the case. I mean, it's all about leaking the identity via covert agent. It doesn't matter who her husband was.
Oh, they could have sent
Mickey
Mouse. It doesn't matter, but that's what I'm saying. You can't point that out to these brain-dead ditto heads. The only thing going off in their head like firecrackers is what Limbaugh said this afternoon. That's it. And I don't like to waste my time with these jackasses. God. All right. James is calling from Santa Rosa, California.
Oh, Mike, I'm so glad to get through.
Yeah, well, you here know, you are.
I mean, you know what, Jim, in Tulsa or wherever the hell you're from, you know what? The rest of us are paying the price for your ignorance.
Yeah, really?
It's people like you that are destroying my country. And I hate this cover. You know, that I was a Marine or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sorry. But, you know, I also wanted to say this fear.
This fear? Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, okay, this apparent fear of the Democrats to start any kind of hearings or proceedings and to impeach Cheney. Because, you know what, look at Clinton. Clinton enjoyed over 60%, well over 60% approval rating.
Right.
And they went through, the Republicans went through impeachment anyway.
Sure.
When the public was down in the teens, maybe,
sure,
as far as approval of the impeachment. Did the Republicans pay a price? No. They gained ground in Congress, and Bush got two terms in office as a Republican. Now, that's debatable.
Right.
Whether it was, you know, true or not, I mean, or whether that was.
Well, I agree, James. I don't understand the reluctance on the part of Pelosi and Reid. I batted this around in my head. Okay, they're trying to do it this way. They're trying to do it that way. But I don't get this either. Why the Democrats don't say enough of this crap. These sons of bitches can utterly and completely destroy this republic in the 2 years they have remaining. Get them out of office. I don't get it, and it just infuriates me.
Well,
I don't know what to do about it.
Yeah, and the other thing is I also heard, well, you know what? If we spend time on, say, for instance, an impeachment inquiry into Cheney, it's going to take away from the Democrats, you know, trying to shorten the war. Well, think about it. Impeaching Cheney is shortening the war.
Boy, is that the truth.
You
use
your brain.
Really? James, I got to leave it
there.
Thanks
a lot, bud.
All right, James, I appreciate you checking in. Take care. We'll be back after the break.
Siphon up your life.
Ten before the hour. Thanks to Ian Huff, who engineered the program in Phoenix and also answered the very busy phones tonight. Thanks to our senior correspondent, Chris in Minnesota. Thanks to Mark Marshall, our webmaster, and the moderators at MikeMolloy.com on the message board. Catherine Bay is the executive producer of this program. Have you gone to NovaMradio.com yet and signed up for the downloads and podcasts to become a founding member of Nova M Radio? What? You haven't? If you don't like doing it that way, you can send a check, snail mail, to 824 Washington, Phoenix, 85034. That's Nova M Radio, 824 Washington, Phoenix, 85034. Back to your phone calls. David is calling from Percival, Iowa. Is that right, Percival?
Yeah, that's right, Mike. My name's Dave, truck driver, and I've been on the roads for about 4 years. I was in the Marine Corps for 8.
Uh-huh.
And I got to tell you, the time I spent in the Marine Corps, I was to the horn listening to Rush Limbaugh and all his garbage. It wasn't until I finally got out before I actually got inquisitive about the lies that were being told every day. And that one devil dog you were talking to, you know, he's, at the very least, he's listening to your program, and I got to commend you for you know, doing this every day. I can imagine it drives you insane. It drives me freaking insane knowing that I gave 8 years of my life to, you know, to this country just to have it torn out from under me and my family by these absolute freaking outrageous crooks like Dick Cheney, et cetera. So, wow, yeah. All I can say to the listeners is that, you know, you have to understand these people are exposed to a lot more insidious things than Fox News and their time of service. It's a mentality that's drilled into you from day one. And everyone comes from society before they join the military. If they're right-wing before they go in, they're even more right-wing while they're in. And it isn't until they become aware of all of the underhandings where they actually might have the ability to change their opinion. Because while you're in the military, to be contradicting could mean a lot of ostracism that makes your life a lot more complicated. So.
Sure, sure. All right, I hear you loud and clear, David. Thanks for checking in, pal.
Thank you, Mike. God bless you, and keep up the fight.
All right, back at you. Appreciate drive safely. I appreciate what you had to say. I think people who have served in the military of this country, and again, you all know, if you've been listening to this program for any period of time, I am a supporter of the military. I don't like how it's misused. And I realize this is nothing new. You go all the way back to Smedley Butler, the turn of the 19th into the 20th century, and Smedley Butler, double Congressional Medal of Honor winner, was talking about it back then. But the traditions and the honest-to-God heroism that occurs, the selfless heroism that occurs in a battlefield situation has got to be respected or we lose some of our humanity. I'm not talking about the me lies or the crimes that are committed. I'm talking about actual heroism that does occur. And so I appreciate the Marines' call. As far as Jim and Tulsa is concerned, I'm sorry he's so brainwashed. I'm sorry that his brain locks down and he's just on that endless feedback loop. But I do understand it.
I kind of feel sorry for Jim or anybody on the right if the strongest argument that they can make about the Libby verdict today is, well, Joe Wilson was a public figure. Why was he over there in the first place? I mean, that has absolutely no bearing.
Well, I'm going to sound like I'm defending these people. But, Kathy, they can't make a coherent argument for or against anything, just like our last caller just said. You get the snot pounded out of you. You get your brain just reduced to liquefied gray matter. You can't think. I think anyone who goes into the military, if it's necessary to prevent them from thinking, because you have to, that whole chain of command thing, when they tell you, and I realize this is not the way it works anymore, but when they tell you to jump up out of your foxhole and advance into withering fire, you're not allowed to think, because if you were allowed to think, you wouldn't do it.
Oh, I agree 100%. What I'm saying is that the talking points that they're being fed, that are being funneled into their brain by the pig man and the baby Jesus and all the other criminals.
That would be Hannity.
If that's the best they've got in response to today's verdict, then, oh, that's kind of sad.
Well, it is sad, and it's uninformed, and it's willful ignorance, and it's a result of having your brain pulverized either by the military or the church or your boss or your friends down at the bar. You know, it's having common sense just kicked out of you and replaced by groupthink, where you can't, you just simply cannot look at a situation like this verdict today and say, well, to a certain degree, some sort of justice was carried out. If they can lock Martha Stewart up for 6 or 8 months because she lied to an FBI man, and this little rat bastard Irving Libby can lie until hell freezes over, and they can expose a CIA agent, not that I have great respect for the CIA, but and all the innocent people that will die because of that exposing, if they can do all that, and then this Irving Libby gets found guilty, and I get phone calls from some punk ass who wants to say, well, they shouldn't have sent a public figure. I think it demonstrates, if a demonstration is needed, how deeply in absolute crisis mode this country really is. That's what it gets down to. So there. Thanks for participating in the program tonight, 99.9% of you. I'll see you tomorrow night. We will have sound tomorrow night that will be equally disturbing as it was tonight. Take care, all right? Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M Radio.